Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, as Suhail said, I think it's better if we keep it as an interactive type of communication. It's just a process of discussion rather than teaching, I think, because these concepts like tawassul and shafa, all of us are familiar with to some extent, and it's not only questions, comments, you can argue, you can fight, you can whatever you want to do, but the point is that I think we have to get the concepts clear, and I think what is important on your part is that you should not accept anything unless it is completely clear with regards to the type of rational understanding which every one of us have. So, inshallah, we keep it as an interactive type of course, and I think all of us can learn through this discussion a bit more about these two concepts of shafa'a and tawassul. Now, all of us are familiar with the concepts of shafa'a and tawassul in our ordinary life. You know that Allah has created this world in a way that nothing, let me just close this, that nothing can be done without a wasila, that's a means, or without shafa'a of something else. It's impossible you do something or you wish to do something without a mediation, a sort of mediation. You want to come here, you need a car, you want to have food, you need money, you want to do whatever you think, you need something, some sort of means towards it. And therefore, you never get things directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our experience in our ordinary life, isn't it? You want heat, you don't say, Ya Allah, I'm cold, please give me heat. No, you have to have fire. It's impossible, unless if you are a saint or something. It's impossible that you get what you want except through its proper means. Now, this is as far as our material life goes, our physical life. What about the life which is not physical? Our relationship with God with regards to things which are supernatural, which belongs to the other world, and which physically we would not, of course, see the effects of it very clearly in our life. Would that work through mediation as well, or not? For example, one of the very, very simplest examples that I can give you is you want to get closer to God. Can you just sit and say, God, I want to get closer to you, please, please help me? No, you cannot. You need a means towards it, isn't it? So, even in our spiritual life, we need means towards different things. This means is sometimes... Yes. Okay, sorry about this. As I said, it just tells us how important a wasila is. And it is really the case when you go to the world which is not material. It's even worse there. If you see, it was very bad to deal with this wasila here. It's even worse there to deal with those wasilas that we really don't know how they work. Now, the concepts of shafa'a and tawassul are very close to each other. The difference between them is that tawassul is when you try to find a means towards someone or something. And shafa'a is when someone else tries to find you a means towards someone or something. So when you find a means, that means would work for you. It means that that means would, in a sense, do shafa'ah for you. But in tawassul, it is your active role. You seek something, some means. In shafa'ah, you don't have any active role. It's just something put there for you. Now, if I want to give you an example, is the example of the sun and electricity. Now, sun usually does shafa'ah for us, for light, isn't it? Every day it comes and brings light. This is shafa'ah, means it acts as a means, it acts as a go-between, between God and us. Now, what does that mean? Everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. But there are things, this light is from God. But God has put a mediation between himself and light. And that sun. It does shafa'ah every day for us. You ask it, you don't ask it. You want it, you don't want it. It is there. But with regards to electricity, you should pay for it. You should have a good wiring system. You should have a lamp, bulb, or all these things. Then you can have the light which comes through that. So you seek a wasila for lighting. So you have tawassul towards lighting. Of course, when that works, then of course it's a shafi' between you and God, which brings light for you. Even the bulbs, the light comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's something in between. And that's the sun or the light or whatever you name it. Now, in other words, tawassul, which means seeking a wasila, is your initiation in finding a mediator. As I said, it's your active role. You seek for something. However, shafa'a, which means mediation, again, is someone else's initiation. When we talk about shafa'a of the Prophet, peace be on him, on the Day of Judgment, it is none of our initiation there. It's just something which comes and includes us in its fold and takes us with it. So it is something which is someone else's initiation, while tawassul, which we usually do in this world, seeking a means towards something. And this is a general rule of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the Quran, there is this talk about angels working all through creation. There are always means to different things. Allah never does things except through the mediation of these angels. However, His power is like the electrical power going through all these, without which none would work. It's all His act. It's all His source of life, which comes through. But there are these mediations which go between Him and between His creation. So, this is a very general thing we find in nature. And when it comes to spiritual life, now we have very, very specific, explicit statements in the Quran that you have to seek a wasila towards your Lord. It's not shafa'ah. You have to seek a wasila. It's your initiation. It's your duty. If you want to get closer to your Lord, you need a means. As I said, you cannot just sit idle and say that, God, I want to come closer to you, take me. He never takes you. You need some sort of means. Now, what means? Which are these means which gets you closer towards the Lord? Now, in Surah Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَقُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. My wasila. all you who have faith. You know the problem? This is not plugged in. No. That's what... Okay. No battery. Good. All you who have faith, ittaqullah, be wary of God, and seek the means of recourse to Him. It means if you do not do it, He will punish you. If you cannot just say, "Oh Allah, I wanted to come to you, but I didn't have any means, so I just forgot about you." No. It is your duty to seek a means, to find a way towards Him. And then of course the continuation of the verse says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ, and strive in His way. You have to strive. You have to seek means. Guidance comes from Him. He will take you eventually. But you have to strive. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive towards us, we will guide them towards our, the path which lead to us. So, when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is impossible to get to Him without a wasila. Not only for us, even for the angels, it's impossible. Even for the prophets, it's impossible to get there without a wasila. We have this well-accepted concept of wasila of the Prophet, peace be on him. All Muslims look at this widely reported hadith by Sunnis and Shi'is that Prophet, peace be on him, on the day of judgment will be given wasila. وَآتِهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ وَالْفَضْلَ وَالْفَضِيلَةِ. God, give your Prophet wasila and give him fadl and fadila. Give him grace and give him preference over others. Now, that wasila in our prayers, if we do too much of mustahabbat, we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa taqabbal shafa'atahu warfa' darajatahu wa qarrib ilayka wasilatahu. Isn't it? And accept his shafa'ah, raise his levels, and make his means towards you very short. So he needs a means. Now, Prophet is much in need of this means than anyone else in the world, in the Day of Judgment especially. We probably don't need that wasila very much. Why? Because we use the wasila of the Prophet, peace be on him. Because he does shafa'a for us. But how does he get into paradise? How does he get close to the Lord? He needs a means. And it's through his means that everyone gets in. And that's why we say, Atih al-wasila, give him the wasila. Give him that means by which he comes close to you. And of course, قَرَّبْ إِلَيْكَ وَسِيلَةً. Make that wasila as close as possible to you, as short as possible, so that without much effort, through that wasila, through that means, Prophet can come to you, can enter the paradise. And so it is not only us who need a wasila, a means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not only the jinn as well, prophets, angels, everyone who is created by God needs a wasila towards God. Now, look at another verse. There are two instances in the Quran in which the term wasila is mentioned. Now, this is about us. It's a duty. It's an order. Command, O you who believe, fear God, seek a wasila towards Him, otherwise you are lost, you go to hell. You have to find a wasila towards Him. Now, the second verse is in Surah Isra. Now, the verse in Surah Isra. Surah Isra is a very frightening surah, actually. If you read it carefully, it's a very frightening surah. It talks about those who worship. I think it's ayah number 55, 56. That's why I need this. So, let it come to the end. Yeah. It says, قُلِدُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونَهِ. You wish to call anyone in this world which you regard them to be your lords, which you regard them to be beneficial to you. Now, there is one catch here that we have to answer, which is very, very important, and that catch has made Shias mushrik and has made Wahhabis and Salafis just silly people, not understanding what they say about Shafa'ah or Wasila. That is a very, very important catch here, which is mentioned in this surah. And that means these Wasilas, you do not rely on them. These are just Wasilas, are means. They never work except if Allah wills them to work. So, you do not call them as you call God. You do not worship them as you worship God. You do not hope. And this is the concept of Tawheed in Af'al that we have in this world. You never have hope in anything, or you never fear anything. It's only Allah that you hope and you fear. Angels are the amount of work put into this world by angels is enormous. But you never call upon an angel. Of course, in the past, people used to do that because they thought these can individually, independently, do things for them. Now, here, the verse says that قُلِدُوا الَّذِينَ زَأَنْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ. You ask whoever you think, you call upon whoever you think, except you think they have any power beside Allah. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ كشف الضر عنكم ولا تحويلا. They have no power to they have no power to remove any hardship from you or to change your situation. No power whatsoever. Now, people said, okay, what about the angels? What about the prophets? What about these powerful jinn which sometimes strike us in a very bad way? They have lots of powers. Now, Allah says, even these which you call beside Allah, you don't know how poor, how needy are themselves, and how they rush to a wasila, to find, to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the verse says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ. Those individuals, those beings, which you call upon, يَبْتَقُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ. They all are going to find, rushing to find some wasila towards their Lord. For example, some people thought that Jesus Christ is God or has some power. Sometimes we think that A'imma alayhimu salam independently can do things in this world. Allah says no, certainly not. These themselves are looking for a wasila to get to their Lord. So, يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ. Even the most, the closest of them, who's our prophet, peace be on him, even the closest of them are looking for a wasila to their Lord. So, why do you call someone who himself looks for a wasila? You find a wasila, it's okay, but you don't worship a wasila. You don't worship a means. You don't call upon a means. I mean, your car is very useful. You go here and there with it, but you don't worship it. Or do we? Sometimes. But it's just a wasila. It's just a means. We know. I mean, it works because, of course, as believers, it works because of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أيهم أقرب ويرجون رحمته. They all hope his rahmah, his mercy. ويخافون عذابه. They fear his عذاب. إن عذاب ربك كان محذورا. Of course, the عذاب of your Lord should be avoided, because it's not something that could be tolerated. So, these two verses, let's put them together. One in Surah Ma'idah, number 35. The other in Surah Isra, 56 and 57. I said 55 and 56. 56 and 57. Put them together is that we are all told, ordered by Allah, that we need to seek a wasila to Him. And secondly, we are told that these wasilas are only means. Even the highest creation of Allah that you see in this world or you can imagine, in himself or in herself, they are in need of a wasila towards their Lord. So this wasila is not something that only ordinary people need. It's something that people of higher calibers also are in need of, and especially the higher they get, a more powerful wasila they need. And when it comes to our Prophet, of course, we all pray that Allah gives him a wasila so that he could take us with him through that wasila into paradise and to the vicinity of the Lord. Now, what sort of wasilas do you think we have towards our Lord? Can you mention a few? What sort of wasilas do we have towards our Lord? I mean, you want to get close to him, you want to go to his paradise. He has ordered you to seek a wasila. Without that, it's impossible that you enter paradise. What sort of wasilas do we have? Dua? Yeah, dua is a very powerful wasila, isn't it? It's magic. You don't call it a wasila, you call it magic. You just create something out of nothing with your dua. It's a wasila. Yes, anything else? Istighfar. Yeah, it's a wasila, it's a means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a very beautiful piece in Nahjul Balagha. Sermon number 110 of Nahjul Balagha. It says that إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ مَا تَوَسَّلَ بِهِ الْمُتَوَسِّلُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The highest of all wasilas that mutawassilun, those who seek a wasila, have to their Lord. Now, he numbers a few things. Very beautiful, of course. What are these things? The best wasila of mutawassilun for nearness to Allah, al-imanu bihi wa bi rasulih. Faith, the basis of every wasila to him, because without faith you never can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faith is the source or the core of every effort that we may make to go to Allah, and therefore faithless people never get to Allah, never arrive at paradise, which is the vicinity of Allah. When we say paradise, we mean vicinity of Allah. We mean something that we have to arrive at. So faith is like the eyes of the heart. The eyes of the heart. This very famous hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, which says, لا تدركه الأبصار بمشاهدة الأيون. Of course, the eyes cannot catch him. As the Quran says, لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار. The eyes cannot catch him. He catches all the eyes. You move your eye a little bit, yes, he is there, he is watching, but your eyes cannot see him. لا تدركه الأبصار. Of course, the eyes cannot catch him by vision. ولكن تدركه القلوب. But the heart can catch him, detect him. It's just detection. Usually, a more general term that we can use for seeing, hearing, touching, experiencing is detecting, isn't it? When you hear something, you detect it. When you touch something, you detect it. When you see something, you detect it. Well, we cannot hear God, we cannot touch God, we cannot see God, but we can detect God. detecting with a means which is, of course, appropriate for detecting him. So Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, yes, the qulub, the heart can detect him. بحقائق الإيمان, with the different layers of truth of faith. Faith is like the eyes of the heart. You can detect God with it. So anyone saying that, do you see your God? You can say, do you not see him? Yes, of course, obviously I see him. How you see him? What color? No, it's not like that. You see him in a different way. For example, you can detect anxiety in yourself, or you can detect love or hate. These are not things that could be heard or could be seen, but they are experienced in different ways. And God also could be experienced, could be detected with faith. Without faith, there is no way to him. So this is the highest of all wasilas to him, is detection of God by faith. And, of course, faith in his Prophet, which gives you other means to him. Now, al-imanu billahi wa bi-rasulih, then he says, wal-jahadu fi sabilih, making efforts. Now, it might be going to fight, it might be other types of effort that you exert to get to the Lord. This is another wasila. And the other wasila, kalimatul ikhlas, you say la ilaha illallah fa innaha al-fitra, because it's a means which puts you, tunes you to the fitra, to the way you are created. It gives you tranquility, of course, if it's uttered with a true sense, if you feel it when you say it, not just saying it, if you feel it when you say it, if you are completely free of anything that attracts you beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you feel that, wow, how comfortable it is to live in this world, or any world, in next world, in grave, in paradise, or wherever you are, it's very comfortable, because the burdens of paying attention here and there, worries, concerns, fears, is taken off from your shoulder. Sakina comes to your heart, tranquility. And that is what, of course, Allah promises you if you say, La ilaha illallah. Daraballahu in Surah Zumar, which is the Surah of La ilaha illallah. You read Surah Zumar, Surah 39, you see it's the Surah of why you should say La ilaha illallah. Why is it important to say La ilaha illallah? By saying, I mean to commit yourself to this La ilaha illallah. In Surah Zumar, Allah gives us an example from the type of life that people had at that time. Of course, it's an example that they understood very well. We can understand as well by just putting ourselves in their place. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ. Usually on those days, of course, people who were a bit well off, they bought a slave. And that slave did everything for them. Cleaning, washing, or working in the farm, or whatever. Of course, the richer they were, the more slaves they had. Sometimes people didn't have enough money to buy a slave for themselves, exclusive slave. They put money together, they shared a slave. For example, four people, a slave was, say, 100 dirham. Each of them, they said, I pay 25, you pay 25, you pay 25, and they bought a slave. Now, this slave work 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock to the evening, 12 hours. Okay, 8 to 11, he works for me. 11 to 11:30, rest, hopefully. Then another 3 hours for someone else, another 3 hours. Now, this is رَجُلٌ فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ. He's a man who has shuraka, people who have share in him. And the problem about these people who have share in him is that they quarrel with each other about the time of this poor man, that where he has to work more, or he has not worked properly here, he comes late there, he goes early to leave to the other owner, and then this poor man when he wanted to go to the other owner, he said, no, wait another 5 minutes. Your time is not up. And with all those rebukes and problems, he left and he arrived at the other house. Said, is this the time to come? You silly man, I don't give you food. Okay. And then he walked there, going to the other one. No, this is not acceptable at all. Tomorrow you have to come here earlier. And every day these four owners fight with this poor man. Allah says this is the example of a person who doesn't say La ilaha illallah. Now, imagine it. I mean, it is true, but true in the sense that our situation is even worse. Worse than that. Because we fear everything. We are worried about everything. What about our risk? What about our tomorrow? What about our children? What about this? What about that? فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ. Now, if you want to be a slave, even if you are a slave, be a slave of one man. He knows how he's treating you, how he's feeding you. You don't have worries anymore. And now I go to the other one, how is he going to treat me? ضرب الله مثلا رجلا فيه شركاء متشاكسون ورجلا سلما لرجل. And a man who's exclusively belongs to one man. هل يستويان مثلا? Are these two similar? Now, really, a person with that type of sakina and tranquility in life, who knows that he's the slave of one Lord. God, if you feed me, it's you who feed me, no one else. If you don't feed me, it's you who's upset with me, no one else, isn't it? If he's upset, no one can bring pleasure, his pleasure for us, or no one can bring pleasure to our life. If he's pleased, no one can upset us, because we do not belong to anyone else, we only belong to him. And this is fitrah. This is what Amirul Mu'mineen says. These are, of course, men of knowledge. وَكَلِمَةُ الْإِخْلَاسِ فَإِنَّهَا الْفِطْرَةِ. This is the way Allah has created you to be free of everything else. Because if you are not a slave of God, you are a slave of everything. You be Abdullah, and then you are free from all other ubudiyyah. You are free from all other slavery. Even if in a social structure, you are a slave of another person, for example. But if you submit yourself to the Lord, that person is not important. It's not important at all. Because you know whatever comes to you, if he feeds you, it's he who is feeding you. It's he who does everything for you. Now, وَكَلِمَةُ الْإِخْلَاسِ. Now, this is a wasila. It's interesting. I mean, this is a wasila. You commit yourself to this, and you see that you get closer to him. You see that you arrive at him. You see that you're not worried about everything, anything, anymore. This is kalimatul ikhlas. And then, what else? Wa iqamus salat. Our prayers is a means, is a wasila, isn't it? It is a wasila, otherwise Allah wouldn't have told us to pray 17 rakahs every day. If we are average, 51 rakahs every day, if we are better, and hundreds of rakahs every day, if we are even better. Isn't it? The better you are, the more burden Allah puts on your shoulder. Isn't it? So it's better not to be very good. Because then, of course, it's not only such burdens, it's the bala that comes as well. Calamities, catastrophes, catastrophes in your life, and all these things, it will come because you are trying to get closer and closer to him. You have to go through this bumpy road towards him. So, this is another means to him. And itaa'uz zakat, paying charity. Now, then Amirul Mu'mineen says, there is a list, you name it. Anything good you do is a wasila towards the Lord. Now, then Amir al-Mu'mineen says that there are things in this world which are wasila to other things. Apart, besides from being a wasila that gets you closer to the Lord, there are wasila to other things as well. Like, for example, he says, وَحَجُّ الْبَيْتِ وَأْتِمَارُهُ حَجْ أَنْ أُمْرَهُ. Well, this is a wasila towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, فَإِنَّهُمَا يُنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرِ. They drive away, this Hajj and Umrah, they drive away poverty. Interesting. You spend lots of money, still Amir al-Rumain says, they drive away poverty. It pushes poverty away. And وَيُرْحِذَانِ الذَّنْبَ. And they make your sins to just drop off from you, if you perform it. If you perform it, of course, sincerely. And what else? وَسَلَةُ الرَّحِمِ. سَلَةُ الرَّحِمِ is, of course, doing good to your kin. Regard for the kin. Now, it's a wasila towards God as well, because, of course, it's a ta'ah. It's obedience, it's a wasila towards him, but it increases wealth and delays death. Good. You go and kiss your mother's hand, Allah says you have another 6 months extra. You pay something to your relatives, Allah says, another year I gave you. You buy life, isn't it? With this Salatul Rahim, Allah says, or here Amir al-Mu'minin says, you buy life for yourself. It delays your ajal. مَنْفَعَةٌ فِي الْأَجَلِ. And, yes.
To do it the other way. If you don't do it.
Yes, it is. If you harm them. If someone really, for example, inflict an injury to their parents or to their kin. This قَطْءُ الرَّحِمِ, what they call it, قَطْءُ الرَّحِمِ. Yes, certainly. It would shorten the life. Very, very rapidly shortens the life. It was Mutawakkil's son who was in love of Ahlul Bayt. You have that story. That because Mutawakkil was a man with great hatred against Ahlul Bayt, and this son of him went to Imam alayhi salam asking, I want to kill my father. And Imam said, no, your life will be shortened. He said, I don't mind. He killed Mutawakkil and he died after 6 months. So, it is something which acts according to this hidden system of justice in this world. You know, Allah is a hidden policeman in this world. You really can sleep safely every night knowing that that's very, very benign police is watching over the world. Of course, crimes happen, but they never go unpunished. There's always this system of justice working in this world. Sadaqatu sirr. This is another wasila. If you pay charity secretly, secret charity, فَإِنَّهَا تُكَفِّرُ الْخَطِيئَةِ. It is an atonement for sins. Sadaqatu sirr. You give charity in a way that no one knows about it. It's a wasila, not only to get you closer to God, but it would be an atonement for your sins. And open charity. Sadaqatu alaniyah. Now this is interesting. فَإِنَّهَا تَدْفَعُ مِيتَةَ السُّءِ. It protects against bad death. Bad death is a death which, I don't know, what's bad death? How could you describe a bad death? Accidents, yeah.
Pain.
Painful death with bad diseases, something like this. This Sadaqatul Alaniyah would, you just sleep during the night, you don't wake up in the morning. That's good, isn't it? That's the better type of, one of, very old ulama in Iran was saying that, yeah, I would like Shahada very much. I like to be a martyr. But I like the person who wants to assassinate me, comes when I'm asleep, just one shot in the head, and that's all. I don't feel anything, I don't feel any pain. That's shahada, that's martyrdom I like. Yes.
I don't know if this is fair to say, but if you do these things, it doesn't mean you won't be saved from bad death.
It doesn't. I mean, it's all, you know, this world is a world of exceptions and rulings which overwhelm other rulings and these things. So you never can judge anyone with these things. But these are things which naturally should lead. I mean, Salatul Rahim naturally should lead to longer life. However, you might find a person who, like for example, Yahya alayhi salam, who was very good to his parents, but of course not lived very long. And many other instances, many other cases. Yeah. And
this comes down to a simple thing of, you know, what the Buddhists believe, that good karma.
Yeah, good karma. So that is a very, very interesting thing, because they have detected something in this world. I mean, anyone who detaches himself from this physical type of attachment which we have usually, strong physical attachment, they can detect something in this world. And that karma, that goodness which flows, as I said, I put it, the system of justice of Allah, which is running underneath. And in Allah Sari'ul Hisab, Allah is very quick in counting. I mean, you do something, immediately it comes. However, you might see the effects a bit later. But you do good or bad or evil, it immediately, this system immediately reacts, and you might call it anything, immediately reacts. And that reaction, of course, could be seen by people of higher knowledge and comprehension. Otherwise, ordinary people cannot see that. Now, in Sahih Sajjadiyya, there is a dua. It's dua number 42. It says, وَكَانَ مِن دُعَائِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِن دَخَتْمِ الْقُرْآنِ. Whenever he finished reciting the Qur'an, إِن دَخَتْمِ الْقُرْآنِ, he used to say, وَجْعَلِ الْقُرْآنَ وَسِيلَةً لَنَا إلى أشرف منازل الكرامة. Make the Quran our wasila. Now, Quran is Imam Zainul Abidin's wasila, no doubt, no doubt. And Prophet's wasila, no doubt again. Because in the Quran it says, يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا. We want to send down to you a very heavy type of message. So, read the Quran. This is the wasila that gets you to that state which you can receive it. And of course, then you come up, you come higher in the hereafter, you have higher positions, higher stations. So, here Imam alayhi salam says, waj'al al-Qur'ana, make the Quran our wasila to the noblest stations of honor. Of course, honor in the other world means something else. That's what we might mean by honor. وَجْعَلِ الْقُرْآنَ وَسِيلَةً لَنَا إِلَىٰ أَشْرَفِ مَنَازِلِ الْكَرَامَةِ وَسُلَّمًا نَعْرُجُ فِيهِ إِلَىٰ مَحَلِّ السَّلَامَةِ. And make it now. Different words he used for this wasila. It all means wasila. And a ladder. Again, a ladder is a wasila, isn't it? By which we may climb to the place of safety. And make it wasababan. Again, sabab is a wasila, is the cause. Wasababan nujza bihi an-najata fi arsat al-qiyamah. And make it a cause for our being repaid with deliverance at the plane of resurrection. And also, وَذَرِيْئَةً, again, ذَرِيْئَةً means wasila. Exactly the same meaning, just synonyms. وَذَرِيْئَةً نُقْدِمُ بِهَا عَلَى نَعِيمِ دَارِ الْمُقَامَةِ. And a means whereby we may reach the bliss of the house of eternity. So this Quran is a very powerful wasila. Now, the way Imam is explaining, coming to the highest stations of honor and arriving in the place of safety, a cause or a means which we find salvation through it on the Day of Judgment, and again a means whereby we may reach the bliss of the House of Eternity, Darul Muqama, it all is the work of this wasila, Quran, if it is used properly. Of course, you might have a wasila, you might have a car, just park it in front of your house. Of course, that wasila doesn't benefit you, it doesn't work for you. Or you might have it and you want to drive it, but you don't know how to drive it. Again, that wasila is useless. And especially if you drive it carelessly, then that is a calamity, isn't it? Instead of benefiting you, it would harm you. The same thing as with the Quran. If you, of course, use it carelessly, then of course, but that doesn't mean that, okay, we have to be extra cautious. We don't read it at all, we don't understand it at all, we don't interpret it at all, because that's the wasila. We have to learn how to do it. Now, none of the above are disputable. Anyone have any concern or dispute over what we said about wasila? That no, we don't need wasila towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, who dare say this after all these du'as and ayat of the Quran? But honestly, anyone think that one, even the Prophet, can go closer to God without a wasila? It's impossible. Well, Allah himself says it's impossible. You need a wasila to come to me. It's impossible for every creature, not only human beings, even the angels, even the ruh, even the higher creation, the highest creation of all, they all need wasila to go to him. Now, what is disputable? Yes.
We take the wasila of the imams to go to Allah, but how does the imams and the prophets take the wasila to go to Allah?
Yes. The wasila, it was Quran, it was good deeds, it was good heart, it was faith. Now, good question. Are we allowed to take imams as wasila? Or we are not allowed? Now, the verse that we read from Surah Isra said, why do you call someone beside Allah who himself is in need of a wasila? You have your own wasila as well. Of course, your wasila is your prayer, your salat, your dua, your good deeds. This is your wasila towards Allah subhanahu. Are we allowed to take a wasila? A human wasila, so to speak. Are we allowed to do that? Yes.
You are a wasila question,
yes, but it's a wasila in the sense of giving knowledge, for example. Okay, in this sense we accept that, yes, Prophet can be used as a wasila in the sense that we learn from him. But can we just ask him that, well, we don't want to bother about these things, we just love you, you take us. You are my wasila. You are my wasila. Now, this is where, of course, the argument comes. Of course, we have to see different aspects of this. Can we take a human being as a wasila? We certainly have Prophet as our wasila. I mean, there's no question about it. But if Prophet had not given us that knowledge, we wouldn't have known anything about it. So he's our wasila. Now, here, there is another dua in Sahifa Sajjadiyya. Now, this is partly disputed. I say partly disputed because there is no dispute here among anyone that yes, in the sense that Safraz mentioned, human beings are wasila. And now, in ordinary life, of course, we know what's the meaning of human beings being wasila. Now, the person who brought me tea was a wasila. The person who set this up, the wasila, and we work through the wasail, of course. It's impossible that we cannot work without it. Society is there because we need each other, because we need to use each other as wasail, as means to our ends. However, when it comes to our relation with the God, with God, with the Lord, can we have any mediation? Is it not like what the Kuffar used to say, that the angels are our wasila to God, or our shufa'a, or the idols are our shufa'a? Now here, I just want to mention this piece of dua here in dua of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam fi yawm Arafah, on the day of Arafah. This is the 47th dua of Sahifa Sajjad. He says that Rabbi salli ala ata'ib ahli baytih, talking about the Prophet and asking Allah to pour His grace on the Prophet. And then he says, salli ala ata'ib ahli baytih, bless the best of his household, those whom you have chosen for your command, الَّذِينَ اخْتَرْتَهُمْ لِأَمْرِكَ, and appointed them as the treasures of your knowledge, وَجَعَلْتَهُمْ خَزَنَةَ عِلْمِكَ, that means the knowledge which of which everyone is deprived is just accumulated there in their hearts, وَحَفَظَةً لِدِينَكَ, and they are guardians of your faith, your religion, your vicegerence in your earth, and your proofs over your servants. These are different, of course, descriptions, qualities. And, now, this is what it means, and made them the wasila to yourself, and the path to your God. وَجَعَلْتَهُمْ الْوَسِيلَةَ إِلَيْكَ, you made them wasila towards yourself. وَالْمَسْلَكَ إِلَى جَنَّتِكَ, and the path to your paradise, to your garden. They, this Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are here described as wasila. Now what does that mean? Now, again, let's come back to that verse in Surah Isra. That's a very frightening verse, of course. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ, those whom you call beside Allah, they are themselves seeking a wasila towards Allah. يَدْعُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَىٰ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ, they seek a wasila towards the Lord, even the closest, أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبْ, وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ. So, doesn't this idea of these people being wasila towards the Lord, in a sense contradictory to what that verse says? Now, as I said, this is partly disputed. No one argues that yes, of course, they are wasila in the sense that they bring guidance for us. Wasila ila al-hidayah. Without them, we wouldn't have known these things. No one argues that even they are wasila while they are alive. While they are alive, they are wasila towards the Lord because you go to them, Jesus Christ. Let's take this very, of course, paramount example. You had a sick child, you pray to Allah, Allah, please cure him or her. It doesn't work. And then you hear that Isa alayhi salam is passing by your village on Friday, for example. And several kilometers away, you take your child, you go to him, you sit there under the sun for hours in the hope that you might see him and ask him that, could you please cure my child? And he does it. Now, this is not even disputed. The dispute is when these people die, and then we want to take them as a wasila. And this dispute comes through from 7th century, 8th century onward, because before that it was not disputed as well. It comes with a person called Ibn Taymiyyah, that he started to dispute this, that no, after they die, you have no right to do this because this is shirk. The others, he doesn't argue, dispute that it's shirk or not. He says, well, this is acceptable. They can pray for you. Isa can heal you, you're ill, for example. But when it comes to this tawassul after they die, he says it's shirk. Now, this is what we have to, of course, explore next week, inshallah, to see why he says that. Does it have any ground at all? That we say that, okay, until they are alive, they can be a wasila. When they die, they cannot be a wasila anymore. And if you take them as a wasila, it's a shirk. This is something that, inshallah, we will explore next week. Any question? Yeah.
Just in the sense of you were saying that they ask to the Lord and Allah didn't give shifa to the or didn't cure the child, and they ask for Prophet Isa. Why isn't that also kind of
shirk? No, I mean when a relative or a son or a daughter or whoever gets ill, you don't sit in your house and pray. You take them to doctor, isn't it? That's a wasila. Now that doctor might be a medical doctor. It might be a doctor who works through strange means, like Isa alayhi salam, isn't it? He works through strange means. So, I mean, it's something very acceptable. That yes, we need a doctor or we need someone who does something, and if someone can do it on those strange ways, why not? Why don't we take our sick people to see? Yes.
Well, you mentioned that Ibn Taymiyyah argued that if they're dead, then you can't see the scene. When you come to the scene, you must be alive because in the Quran says that those that are in the way of Allah are actually alive.
Okay, let's leave the discussions for Ibn Taymiyyah next week, inshallah, because that man really deserves a session. So we need to discuss his ideas next week, inshallah. Okay? Thank you.